Welcome to Love Fellowship Believers, a non-denominational church desiring to fulfill God's will. We invite you to join us in an atmosphere of praise and worship in the powerful teachings of Christ delivered in a most creative way that reaches every age. Located at 1900 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Greensboro, North Carolina, on the wonderful campus of Gillespie Park Elementary School. This year, we're focusing on building a foundation solidified by grace, with walls made by faith, and our homes being filled with salvation by being united in living devotion. We promise you, visiting us online or in the sanctuary will be an experience that will be life-changing and one you'll never forget. We hope to see you soon. Services begin at 11 a.m. Have a blessed day.
Privilege to stand before God's people. As Miss Sense said, she's known me for a while. She's seen the good, she's seen some bad, and she's seen some downright ugly. In the back, Pastor Webb was telling me I'm a little overdressed, and I remember when I first started coming to church, I bought me a suit. Said, I'm a grown man, now I'm going to buy me a suit. And we got in the van to go to church, and she said, boy, you still got the tags on your sleeve? And I thought that's what I was supposed to do. She said, no, boy. And she pulled out this survival kit. You would have thought we was riding with MacGyver. She had everything in there. And on the way to church, she clipped all my tags and got me straight. And that's... there is a word from the Lord before I start crying up here. Once again, I do thank you all for the opportunity. In your reading, we refer to Psalm chapter 34, the 34th Psalm, verse number 8. And the way that God gave me this particular word was a way that he has never given me a word before as far as structure. I've had verses and God has said, you speak from these three words. This is all you do. Three words. It's all you need. I said, all right. I'm going to try to work these three words. Well, tonight, God gave me the book of Psalms. I said, oh, Lord, we're going to be here forever. There are five verses that we will hit. We will hit those in the order that they come within the book to keep it simple. But just for the sake of time, I will be reciting the 34th Psalm, verse number 8, and it reads, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. May we pray, Father God, we thank you for this evening, Father God. We thank you for the opportunity to gather. Someone had plans for this Monday evening, but for whatever reason, Father God, those plans have been altered and lives have been changed, Father. So we simply pause to thank you just for the opportunity to be here, Father God. And we pray that you would simply take this word, Father God, that you would hide me, that the people see and hear you, Father God, and that you would make clear how basic some things truly can be. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As you take your seats, I will give to you a topic tonight. Five senses of destiny. Very, very basic. Five senses of destiny. We live in an empirical society. Truth is established by what we can perceive and by what we can observe. Traditionally, we have been taught that there are five basic senses through which we obtain information. And I'm just crazy enough to believe that these five simple senses can teach us volumes. And I'm just so crazy enough to believe that as we seek to carry out God's will and walk this journey on tonight, we can discuss the five senses of destiny. As heard, first we'll begin with Psalm 34:8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. The first sense we're going to discuss, your sense of taste. And so I open up with a question. What is it that we are looking to feed our minds? What are we looking to feed our bodies, our souls, and our spirits? Oh, taste and see, that's to partake of, to indulge in, to make yourself a big heaping plate. That's how the country people say it, a heap of food on there. And when it comes to this, we shouldn't be scared of seconds, thirds, carry out orders, and to-go boxes. All right? And that sounds really, really simple. But if it's honestly that easy, then I ask, why are so many of us either hooked on Little Debbie or hooked on devil's food? Why is it that so many of us bypass the Master Chef and we go dine in Hell's Kitchen? And the answer to that is that the adversary has been spending thousands, literally thousands of years working on his recipes. The enemy has invested more time than we stop to acknowledge toward carefully measuring each ingredient of our destruction. He has played with the oven and he has found just the right temperature of our temptation. Wow. He has become a certified pastry chef, and his icings tend to catch us by the eye, and some of us have come to realize that what the eye continues to see, eventually the heart will start to want. So what is it that we're looking to feed ourselves? You see, sin has a reverse Sour Patch Kids effect. Anybody who's seen the commercial, what do they say about Sour Patch Kids? First they're sour,
right,
then they're sweet. See, but sin just the opposite. See, sin starts out real sweet, but it ends up being a putrid and a toxic element in our lives, both physically and spiritually. You see, there's a certain sensation that comes along with drunkenness. There's a certain high of drugs. There's a certain thrill of fast money. Barry White said, baby, it's like ecstasy when you lay down next to me. Oh, Atkins wasn't supposed to say that. No, Atkins come to tell the truth. But all of these things ultimately lead to heartache, despair, loneliness, loss, and a corroded quality of life. But won't you just taste and see what God has for you? If we're going to have a made up mind to walk in his glory, we have to wake up and we have to fill up on faith. We have to have a cup of courage. We need to fix a daily plate of prayer. Have a little bit of temperance in your tea and put some joy in your morning joe. We have to be intentional about seeking the good things. We have to be intentional about seeking the good things that God has for us. And it's not that God is hiding anything as though he's trying to hold all of these blessings and all of these things from us. It's just that the cheap stuff is so abundantly advertised in this world. But if we would just make the decision to taste his goodness in every aspect of our life, we'll all wonder what took us so long to make that decision in the first place. And we're gonna keep on walking. The next verse that we will hit, if you want to just note it down, I advise you go back and read it later. I'm not going to belabor you long. Psalm 85 and 8 reads, I will hear what God the Lord will speak. For he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. That is the 85th Psalm, verse number 8. And here we will speak of our hearing. An interesting fact about your hearing, did you know that your ears are actually responsible for your balance? Your inner ear has three canals, has two small organs, the utricle and the saccule. Now all three of these give off certain signals that your brain absorbs, your brain takes in, and this actually is what produces your balance. We always think, oh, that baby legs ain't right. Something wrong with that baby feet. Get that baby out them Jordans, go get him some Stride rights or some Carters with them hard bottoms that we used to have to wear. It's not always the shoes, sometimes it's simply the ear. So may I ask another question? Have you ever found yourself out of balance? Have you ever found yourself spiritually unstable? And it seems like you know what the direction is, but you just can't get yourself together enough to go that way. I ask you, is there an issue with what you're hearing? What is it that you're listening to? You see, Abraham listened to Sarah. Job listened to his three buddies. Solomon listened to foreign wives. And Rehoboam listened to his young friends. And if you go back and you study the scripture, you will notice that there was a lack of balance produced in each and every scenario. Abraham ended up having to send off that son, send off his mother, when all he did was listen to Sarah. You see, Job's countenance was lowered as he found himself being verbally attacked and accused of sin by those whom he trusted in. His loved friends gave him a sense of imbalance. Solomon, noted to be one of the wisest ever, listening to foreign wives and concubines, he sought to please them rather than to please the Lord. Another case of imbalance. Rehoboam is given the notorious label of ultimately making the decision that led to the division of the kingdom of Israel. Because he chose to listen to his homies, than to listen to the Holy One. Clearly, a piece of this divine destination has to do with what we listen to. The psalmist wrote, "I will hear what God the Lord will speak." It's an unpopular concept, but sometimes you just can't do what mama say do. Sometimes you simply can't go where daddy say go. Sometimes we can't take advice of our best friends. Sometimes we need to just turn off Joyce Meyer.
Yeah.
Sometimes we need to turn off T.D. Jakes. Sometimes we need to stop listening to 97.1 in the mornings because all of a sudden Steve Harvey is a bishop. And sometimes we just have to go to our private little place, a little peaceful spot, and we have to listen to what thus saith the Lord. The complementary pieces, they all have their place, but they're no good if we aren't listening to the God who is above them all. How can we expect to make it to the proper destination if we aren't listening to the right directions? In this technical age, how much longer will we stand and refuse to use the GPS that doesn't have to charge, that doesn't need map refreshments, that doesn't call for updates here and there, that doesn't call for a subscription charging you monthly? God's provisional system has a perfect rating. It's perfect. But far too often, we simply don't listen. Some of us, we need to stop guessing the route, and we need to just listen to the master of the roads. Five senses, five simple senses that are going to help get us to our destiny. Next, we're going to go to the 115th Psalm, verses 2 through 6. And it reads, "Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God?" Ain't that like a hater? Just like a hater. They ain't got what you got. Don't believe what you believe, but they gonna talk bad about yours. "Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses they have, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat." This next sense we're going to talk about, we're going to talk about your sense of smell. And it's a tricky one, because we have to be cognizant of what it is that we smell. And somebody's saying, "How in the world does this fit in here? How are you going to get the sense of smell out of that?" I thank you for asking, and I appreciate the challenge. Challenge accepted. Did you know that on a study published in the Science Journal, you can detect at least 1 trillion distinct scents? In a separate experiment, sweat was taken from men watching movies that produced either fear or a disgusted or upset attitude. These men, they were forced to drink water. They wore deodorant with no scent. They couldn't drink alcohol, none of that. That way, whatever was excreted by the body, it was pure. After these sweat samples were taken, they were given to test subjects to smell them, and the fierce sweat led most subjects to actually display a facial expression synonymous to either fear or shock. And the quote-unquote disgust sweat led most to display a face of disgust. Just, ooh. Your mom ever told you, "Ooh, you smell like outside." It took me a while. "Ooh, you smell like outside. You need to wash." But if you can smell fear, if you can smell disgust, what other emotions can you detect which can obviously take a toll on you or distract you from your vision? This psalm speaks of false gods, which are no more divine than the men and the women who crafted them. So we do well today to make sure that we're seeking now some smellities from heaven, because the nose detects trillions of smells, and there were numerous false items. There were millions of people. Have we forgotten there is only but one God? It's time that we lay aside nosy ways, separate yourself from some nosy people, because it's clear that the nose can be a strong vulnerability to distraction. We all grew up eating Fruit Loops. If you grew up in my house, you probably had some Fruit Tangios. We ain't always had the good stuff. Hey, God gave us something to eat, amen? Better act like you know. Toucan Sam said, "Follow your nose." Do I have a witness that we have followed our own noses down some dark alleys? We have followed our own noses down some unnecessarily dangerous highways and byways. This nose of ours has led us down into some deep, deep valleys and pits. And time again, has God not made a way out? Has he not delivered? Has he not provided for you and provided for I? Has he not heard your cry in the midnight hour? Has he not come to see about his child? When your nose led you to trouble, did God come and see about you and yours. Well, if we're going to talk about sight, then let's keep on talking about sight. Let's keep on rolling through this. Psalm 121, half of y'all don't even got to turn the page. You already know what it says. The psalmist wrote, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Psalm 121, verse 1. Let's keep on rolling. Let's talk about this sense of sight and how does it relate to us walking into our destiny. The older people told us you got to keep your eyes on the prize if you want to survive. Now that nose will try and divert your attention. However, walking into your destiny requires you not to have purposeful vision. Notice I didn't say 20/20 vision. Y'all saw me have my glasses on earlier. It's not about having perfect vision. It's about having purposeful vision. Research doctors L.D. Bloom, Harold Stolovich, and Erica Keeps concluded in a study that roughly 83% of your perception is taken in with your eyes. But what if I was to counter that and tell you that your eyes are deceived roughly 70% of the time? Optical illusions run rampant. Has anybody here ever seen hardships? Has anyone here ever seen trials and tribulations? Have you ever had problems and you looked and you saw more problems and you looked and you saw more problems and then you heard something behind you? You heard a cry out. You look back and, oh my God, my problems have problems. It's just so many of them. How do we counter this? Have we ever looked for the solutions and answers and counters to these scenarios, but life only threw you even more optical illusions? Has life only sought to trick your eye once more and again? In these times, what it is that we search out to focus our sights on? What is it that we are looking at? Because God, you see, we tend to see Goliath, but God wants to show you David. You see, we tend to see misfortune, but God wants to show you his riches. You see, we see bills, but God wants to show you the blessing that you have all around you. We see how far it is that we have to go, but God wants you to see where you have already come from. See, we tend to see our imperfections, but God wants to show you your progress. If we're serious about this walk of ours, about this journey, this growth in God, and the destination that he has appointed for each and every one of us, then we need to start learning just what it is that we need to rest our eyes on. Acknowledge the valley, because the valley is real. The valley experiences will come in your life. The gorges, they will occur. The canyons, they do exist. But more than that, we must remember to lift up our eyes and keep our eyes up on the hills. You see, your help doesn't come from below, but your help comes from above. Lift your eyes and watch him lift your spirit, elevate your view, and watch him elevate your standing. I will lift up mine eyes upon unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. So don't you dare drop your head in defeat. Don't you dare look down in shame, because life happens to each and every one of us. But lift up your eyes to the hills, to the God of the heavens above. I ask a question, what is it that we're looking at? Donald Lawrence said, let me be spiritual. God said, well, just for a minute, just be natural. Five natural senses, they're going to aid us walking towards this destiny. And lastly, we will go to Psalm 139. And we'll be reading verses 8 through 10. If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Lastly, we must consider our sense of touch. What you hold on to has a tremendous impact on you, your life, and those around you. I heard a song say, you can't hold your crown holding what's holding you down. In case you missed that, you can't hold your crown holding what's holding you down. How we use our sense of touch can either end up being the stone that catapults us forward in God, or it can be the straw that breaks the camel's back. Now, we started talking about touch. Maybe y'all had in mind that I was going to go straight to Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. But I challenge you to consider the angle that this particular psalmist writes from. No matter what, no matter where, no matter when, God can reach you. In your greatest heartache, remember that God can heal. But in your greatest disobedience, don't get it twisted, because God can still reach to punish us. When your path sets you on a mountain peak, God can hold you in safe and perfect peace. But remember that when our tastes are not pleasing to Him, when our notices have led us into caves where His light seems not to shine, our God can still reach us. He can still chastise and He can still reprimand. But isn't it a great thing to know? And you got to know it for yourself. That some year 30 AD, there was a fellow by the name of Christ, and he felt a certain touch. He felt a touch of betrayal by one of the fellows he spent the last 3 years with daily. He felt the touch of false arrests. We see all of this stuff going on in the world, but he experienced that as well. This oppression, this injustice that we see, Christ felt that particular touch too. It's a special thing to know that the touch that he felt was a touch of a cat of nine tails across his back. The touch that he felt was carrying a cross beam. He felt a touch of embarrassment as he was forced to walk through the streets of Jerusalem down the Via Dolorosa. This Jesus Christ character that they speak of, he had to feel a touch of suffering. His brow felt the touch of thorns in the form of a crown thrust upon his head. His wrist felt the touch of spikes being driven through. His feet felt that same touch. His morale felt the touch of abandonment as he screamed out, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And after he gave up the ghost, his lifeless flesh laid, experiencing the touch of physical death. And then I say you got to know it for yourself, because then you know that the story doesn't end right there. You see, if you left the movies during that scene, then you missed the grand finale. Because on the third day, he rose again. What is that he touched on that third day that none of us have touched before? He felt the touch of resurrection. All of this was done that you and I may pursue and touch life, that we may pursue and touch life more abundantly, that we may feel a touch of blessings being poured out from heaven's windows, that we may taste the goodness of God's grace and mercy. This was done that we can hear from heaven, that we can smell of the banquet of the marriage supper that is to come, that we may one day see the Savior with our own natural eyes and see the glory of God, that we may have access to touch life and not feel the pain of the touch of eternal death. You see, athletes know, as you walk, as you run, as you jump, as you throw, your body gets tired. On this walk, walking into our destiny, if you're relying simply on your legs, your legs gonna get tired. I highly advise you to have a little something more. Gatorade asked the question, is it in you? 5 senses of destiny. 5 basic senses to accompany you, to accompany me each day on this path as we walk into our destiny. Once again, I thank you for the opportunity. I pray that something was said that aids you, something was said that guides you on this walk. If I may, those who can't stand, if you would, please stand to your feet as we look to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity, Father. We thank you for this word that has been given to your people, Father God, that we might simply backtrack, get away from all the spiritual, and that we might realize that there are some natural things to be taken care of, Father God, that you might show us that we were not called to discipleship to walk on water. We were not called to do all the miraculous things that Jesus performed. But sometimes it's simple as loving our neighbor. Sometimes it's just as simple and it's just as basic as giving to someone who needs, Father God. We thank you for reminding us to take care of this natural side of this task, Father God. You blessed us with five basic senses, among others. But we're just going to talk about the five basics, Father God. We thank you for reminding us that we need to be cognizant, be careful of what it is that we are feeding into this body, Father. We need to be cognizant of what it is that we're listening to, what it is that we're smelling. What are these distractions that are pulling us further and further away from you, Father God, not pushing us toward that destiny that you have for us? We thank you for reminding us, Father God, on tonight that we simply need to check ourselves and realize what is it that we are choosing to look at. Some things we just can't avoid. There are parts of this life that we simply are forced to see. But there are many things, Father God, that we wake up every day and we make a decision to go look for those things, Father God. And those things we must be held accountable for. And Father God, we thank you for reminding us of our sense of touch, Father. We simply remind you for reminding us that the closer we draw to you, the nearer you draw to us, Father God. It's not that you can't reach us. It's simply that sometimes we're not reaching out to you. Sometimes we aren't extending our hands to you, Father God. Sometimes we'll rather touch on other things that you would not have, things that are displeasing to you, Father. So on the night of this revival, Father God, we ask that you would touch us, Father, that you would stir up something in us that needs to be revived, Father God. Something that we said on years ago. We said, Father, if you get me out of this, I'll never return back to that. But somewhere along the way, somewhere on this journey, the directions got mixed up, Father God. We pray that you would simply remind us of the direction that we are to be going in, Father God. Whatever it is that lies dormant, Father, whatever it is in us that you have placed there yourself that remains inactive, Father God, we pray right now in the name of Jesus that you will wake that up, Father God. We know that the batteries aren't dead, Father. We know that the batteries are charged. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here, Father. So we simply pray that you would revive us in such a way that we might at least just take one of these basic five senses and say, you know what, Father God, on tonight, I promise you, Father God, I'm going to work on this. It's a long road to achieve destiny, Father God. For many of us, it's a long road to the end. But while we take this next few steps, Father God, I'm going to focus on this. And when I grow in that area, Father God, remind me, let me focus on that. That as we walk toward this destiny, Father God, that we might always be growing nearer and nearer to you, Father. To this end, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If there would be one among us who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ,